live at AsylumFantasySports.com, RSSportsRadio.com, and heard worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network. It's the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show.
Yeah, I'm glad you got that out.
I did so much chilling, I forgot what the show was called.
We are Fligger and Briggs. Welcome into the Asylum. And if you recall last week, we completed round one of our second annual Asylum Football Fantasy Football Bracket Tournament.
The true March Madness, as I like to call it.
Yeah, the real March Madness. And we got through the first round with old Jay Smooth came in the first time in a while, and we got down to the final 32. Tonight, we either make the Elite Eight or we'll get into some good debate and we'll only take it to 16, but we'll see where we go.
We'll see where we get, exactly. No promises either way.
But fortunately, we have a another decider, I guess, that we can bring in. And he's a co-founder of DynastyBlitz.com, Andy Miley. Welcome.
Thanks, guys. No, well, I'm looking forward to this. I also am not that huge of a basketball fan. And we all know football is more important than that anyway.
Yeah, that's right. There's no question about that. And the real March Madness is always focused around football, no matter what.
Exactly.
All right, Rick. Well, what do you say? We'll just go ahead. We'll jump right into it, starting the East bracket, a 1 versus a 9. So not a lot of big upsets. A few upsets in the first round, not a ton. I'll go back and listen last week to hear how we got where we are. Rick, I'll let you start this show. Number one overall seed, Jamal Charles, takes on Wes Welker.
Yeah, Wes Welker was actually one of those, not really so much an upset, but it was a split decision last week over Pierre Garçon. Jamal Charles, the reigning champ from last year in the first annual Asylum Bracket Challenge, I've got to stick with Jamal Charles. He is the engine of that offense, the 70 receptions last year. You know, he had 19 total touchdowns. I just think, I know you're going to be drafting him high, but I think he's the best value at running back out there.
Yeah, I don't think there's any debate. Yeah, good Lord. It's going to be one of those shows, Rick. Any debate in this matchup. Wes Welker, I think he takes a hit this year with Eric Decker gone. I really do. I'll be curious to see what exactly that looks like. I don't expect a ton for him. He's going to have fantasy value. He's going to be on your team. I don't see him as that low-end number one receiver. Even in a PPR format, I think the loss of Eric Decker hurts him a little bit. And Wes Welker, you know, a guy putting him up against Jamal Charles just is unfair. So it's Jamal Charles easily for me.
Well, for me, I'm going to also go with the Jamal Charles. Obviously, I think that Sanders – me being a Steelers fan, you know, he's okay, but he's no Decker. But Wes Welker, I think, is slipping. There's a reason why they only signed him for 2 years. So it's Jamal Charles all the way with Andy Reid making him be the most important man in Kansas City.
Yeah, I agree. And you made a good point with the small stature of Sanders in contrast with losing Decker. Now you really only have one big receiver out there. Yeah, of course, they still have Julius Thomas. I understand that. But
young
Eric Decker was was a big piece, you know, physically. Yeah. And now we have a Sanders and a Welker out there. It's a lot different. You know, the whole landscape.
Yeah, I think a young man by the name of Peyton Manning ought to probably be able to keep that ship afloat.
Oh, I agree.
So let's move on, a 4-5 matchup. This one is interesting to me. I'll let you start this show. 5-seed Aaron Rodgers takes on 4-seed DeMarco Murray. The games get tough all of a sudden.
Yeah, they do. Andy, go ahead.
I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers, and the reason I'm saying Rodgers is just because Murray – you know, with the change of offensive coordinator, I'm not really sure how much he's going to be used in the running game. I mean, obviously, he gets broke a lot, and that's one of the concerns. And Rodgers, obviously, last year wasn't that healthy, but he is the engine that makes the Packers run. And I'm going to take that high upside. I mean, I see no reason if he can stay healthy that he can't be a top one or top two quarterback in the league this year.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers myself. I think he asserts himself into that top three elite status again as far as the quarterbacks go. And I think he's in for a big year. I like the Packers offense. I like the emergence of Eddie Lacy. And I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be the better value because I love what DeMarco Murray did last year. I'm still concerned about his health and just basically the whole Cowboy team dynamic through a course of a whole season.
Yeah, Rick, I'm going to make this unanimous. I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. For me, it's because he's a safe pick. We know who Aaron Rodgers is and what you're going to get from him, and it's going to be top five quarterback production. I don't like him in terms of where you're going to have to draft him if we're looking at it from that standpoint in this matchup. But look, DeMarco Murray is going to be a second-round pick as well, and I think there's just more risk involved with him there. Hasn't been able to stay healthy. When he's healthy, Rick, and when he's on, I don't think there's five guys in the league that do it better than DeMarco Murray does. It's just a trust factor. I know what I'm getting from Rodgers. Yeah, he was banged up last year. That was the anomaly. It's the norm for DeMarco Murray being hurt. So I think we'll move Aaron Rodgers on unanimously.
All right. And you're good to take the next one. It's a 3-11 matchup with Dez Bryant and Rob Gronkowski.
All right. I'll start this one. Back to my earlier point on DeMarco Murray. If I knew 100% that Rob Gronkowski was going to be healthy and be Rob Gronkowski, I'd give a half a moment's thought about pulling the upset here. Dez Bryant, look, he's a top five wide receiver, fantasy football-wise, and in the league in general. I think there's other guys you can make the argument for, whereas a Rob Gronkowski, when healthy, is the best at his position, save for Jimmy Graham. It's those two, and then there's a mile between those two and the next group. Me and maybe Julius Thomas is getting in that conversation, but it's those two for a mile. I don't trust Gronkowski. He has had so many health issues. The way he goes is the way the Patriots are going to go, the way Tom Brady is going to go. I wish I knew, Rick. I just don't. I'm going to play it safe here. You know what you're getting with Dez Bryant. Seems to have his head right finally last year after some serious issues before. Dez Bryant has a top five fantasy wide receiver, and I'll go ahead and move him on here. But, boy, I wish I could give Gronk the nod. I don't have the guts to do it.
I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go Dez Bryant at – to me, it's not close. I love what Dez Bryant is doing. He's basically looks to me like he's cured the drops. I mean, he still has some here and there, but I mean, he can make some spectacular catches, plays hard, he plays huge, and I just think he's a safer pick. And Gronkowski, I'm like you. I wish I knew. When he's on, he can win you championships.
Those two.
But I am going Dez Bryant.
And I will also third the Dez Bryant, you know, for what you guys have already said. I mean, the one thing about Rob Gronkowski is we know that Belichick will design an offense around who he has healthy and able to play. And we don't know what Rob's going to do. I mean, he may start off the season again missing the first six games. I'm here in Maine. And we have no idea about when he's going to be healthy and how long he's going to be healthy. You know, he might be hanging out with more of his adult star friends for all we know. I mean, at least Dez seems to have his head turned on correctly, at least right now. It's scary to say, but I trust him more.
Yeah, you wouldn't think in a contest of who has their head right that Dez Bryant would beat out anybody, but Gronk just might be that guy. All right, Rick, we have another, what do we have here, a 2-10 matchup, a closer 2-10 matchup that I think you might think when at first blush. Antonio Brown, the 10 seed, taking on 2 seed Eddie Lacy.
This one here I've been thinking about, and I think Eddie Lacy has shot up to first round drafting and fantasy drafts from last year. Now, that being said, you know, I mean, I like what he's doing. I really like the Packers offense. Antonio Brown in PPR formats last year was the third highest scoring wide receiver in the league. Yeah, they lost Sanders, but they brought in Lance Moore. To me, they're one and the same. Antonio Brown had 110 receptions for 1,499 yards last year. I think he's going to – I don't think he's people are believing in him as much as your Demaryius Thomas and so forth, and rightfully so, from size aspects. But, and I think he's going to fall. Therefore, I'm calling an upset as far as better value. I think Antonio Brown is going to be a better value this year than Eddie Lacy.
Wow. Pulls the big upset, Brown over Lacy. Andy, I'll let you follow that up.
Wow. You know what? I mean, I have a Steelers tattoo. I love Antonio Brown. He's the cog right now in the Steelers' passing offense. I just can't wrap my head around it. And I did a dynasty draft about a month ago, and I had taken him as my second pick. I mean, my pick in the second round, because we also get bonuses for punt and kickoff yardage. And I still, it's awfully darn close, but I'm going to have to go with the big guy, Eddie Lacy. It's very contested for me, but I'm just going to have to go with the guy that I know is going to get those carries. And I think Aaron Rodgers is actually going to help get him more space than what he was when playing with the god-awful quarterbacks that he had to play with when Rodgers was hurt. But it's an awful darn close one.
Yeah, it's closer than I thought it would be. Rick, I guess I got to be the tiebreaker here, the voice of reason. I love Antonio Brown for every reason you mentioned. He's the number one guy. I don't think he's going to be hurt by the loss of Emmanuel Sanders. He sort of did it on his own at that point. Sanders wasn't that much of a deep threat to be opening things up for Antonio Brown. Here's the problem with Antonio Brown. He falls in the upper part of a second tier for me right now. Eddie Lacy, for my money right now, he's at the end of the first tier of running backs, a position that's much more scarce. Not huge. I know we base this on a PPR format. Not huge in receptions, but this kid's going to get the carries. He's getting the goal line work. Starks is gone. Nobody hawking any carries from him. It's close. This one's going to OT for me, Rick, but I'm going to cast a vote for Eddie Lacy. I hate to keep going chalk in this thing. Would love to pull the trigger on Antonio Brown, but I think Eddie Lacy finishes in the top five of running backs when this year's over.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. This is one I wrestled with, and you know, it's close, and we're going to get a lot more of these matchups. I like seeing some of these split decisions. And, you know, I'm a believer in Antonio Brown, and I love Eddie Lacy. And it was one of those things. It's going to be close. I can't wait to see how it chills out at the end.
Yeah, no doubt about it. See the numbers.
Well,
all right.
And I don't mean to correct you, but Starks was re-signed.
Oh, they did re-sign him. Oh, I thought he was gone.
Yeah.
Well,
no, not for Green Bay. Yeah, they did re-sign him, yeah.
Yeah, huh.
Yeah, he visited Pittsburgh, and
yeah, I wonder why the Steelers.
I think another team, and then he went back and signed with Green Bay.
Well, I don't know why they do that, but fair enough, I guess. I don't think Stark's stealing a ton of carries.
And always feel free to correct him.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Basically making it up as I go, so certainly I need that. All right, Rick, well, let's jump down. So now we are sitting at Jamal Charles, Aaron Rodgers, and Dez Bryant versus Eddie Lacy in the Sweet 16. Some interesting matchups there, but let's jump down to the Midwest, Rick. Adrian Peterson, the one seed in the Midwest, taking on Vincent Jackson, who won a surprise matchup against Ray Rice in the first round.
Yeah, we're going to let Andy take this one right off the bat.
Well, I'm going to have to go all day Adrian Peterson. Hopefully he's going to be healthy throughout the whole year. The new change in head coach is going to serve him well for a no-nonsense kind of guy. They're looking like they're going to get some weapons. Who knows, maybe they'll get a decent rookie quarterback throwing the ball. But Vincent Jackson, we don't even know what quarterback he's going to have. I just have to go with who could be the number one running back this season, Adrian Peterson.
Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, I don't think there's too much thing. I like what V-Jax does. It's Adrian Peterson. It's simple as that. I can see Adrian Peterson making an exit from this tournament a little earlier than you may think at first blush, at least for my money. Adrian Peterson, he does what he does. I'm a little nervous the way he started to get nicked up last year, something you hadn't seen from him after that miraculous recovery from the knee surgery. You started to see some issues. You don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be. It's never mattered. At this point, going up against Vincent Jackson, you don't want to make it all Adrian Peterson. V-Jax is a nice player in a mediocre offense. I like V-Jax, but this is Adrian Peterson in a walk.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go. It is Adrian Peterson. Look, Vincent Jackson, I love the guy. You know, it looks like they're going to have McCowan, I believe, for quarterback, which is kind of shaky, or Glennon.
Yeah.
And, you know, as good as Vincent Jackson is, if you don't have a franchise quarterback there, and plus it's Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
Let's just not even go any farther.
Adrian Peterson. So let's jump down, Rick. Your man crush, Brandon Marshall, the 5 seed in the Midwest, takes on upset special Julius Thomas after he took out A.J. Green in the first round of the tournament.
Yeah, which was kind of surprising. It really was. And, you know, with the emergence of Elshon Jeffrey in Chicago, you know, a lot of people think Marshall's production is going down. I don't know. If Cutler stays healthy, I mean, the chemistry they have, that the attitude, what we covered on the last show, Brandon Marshall is going to sign with the Bears. He says that it doesn't matter what money, he's not looking for big money. The money can go to the quarterbacks. I mean, what an attitude change. I think Brandon Marshall stays in the elite status of wide receivers. I'm going Brandon Marshall for my money.
Yeah, I think Brandon Marshall, the bottom of that first tier, but definitely a first-tier running back. You wonder what the emergence of Alshon Jeffrey as he continues to go. It seemed to be a boom for both of them last year. It didn't seem to be an either-or situation. It seemed to be they both were successful. Unlike, there always seemed to be that either-or situation between Julio Jones and Roddy White. These guys seem to make it work in tandem. One's up one week, one's down, one's up the other, but nobody's completely down. Brandon Marshall's right there. Love Julius Thomas. Love what he does. And for all the reasons he made it out of the first round, I don't think it's enough to overcome Brandon Marshall. You know, Brandon Marshall, A.J. Green. I like Brandon Marshall a little more than A.J. Green, and that's why I think he squeaks by Julius Thomas.
Well, I'll make it 3 for 3. I'm also Brandon Marshall, and obviously it's already been brought up, you know, about the whole Cutler factor. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey seemed to flourish with McCown more than he did with Cutler. And, I mean, those two have been together, Marshall and Cutler, been together for a long time. I just think that this is a no-brainer at this point in the tournament.
Yeah, definitely very early on. All right, Rick. Well, I think the next matchup coming up is probably the matchup of this round, so we may need a little time for it. Let's go ahead. We'll take the break right here a little early, and we'll be right back.
All right.
And, of course, Rick, the board went dead on us. And we're back on the Asylum Fantasy Sports Network.
Yeah.
Network. I don't know what happened with the music there. I'll go ahead and cut that in later.
All right.
Rick, doing the March Madness Fantasy Football Tournament, here's for me is the matchup of this round. The 6 seed Alshon Jeffrey takes on the 3 seed Josh Gordon. What a rough matchup in the second round.
Yes, indeed. I believe Andy can take this one right off the bat here.
Passing the buck, you coward.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm going to have to go with Flash Gordon here. I just think that he is more the prototypical number one receiver. He's going to be getting all the targets, and he is definitely taking, you know, all the coverage, everything else. There isn't a whole lot in Cleveland to distract defenses, and he still has gotten the job done. I will take him because Cleveland's actually gotten a little bit stronger, at least with Ben Tate there. This is someone that I like. And, you know, Jeffrey is a very good receiver, but Cutler does favor Brandon Marshall a little bit more, and that's enough of an edge for me to give to Gordon.
Yeah, I agree with you what you said. Especially Jeffrey flourished, especially with McCown in there. With Cutler's in there, it's Brandon Marshall first and Jeffrey second, no question about that. You know, there's reports that the Browns are going after DeSean Jackson pretty hard. However, other reports say the deal's about done in Washington. I don't think either way Josh Gordon's production goes down. He's the guy. And if Jackson gets there, I mean, it could be even more of a boom for Gordon. I think Gordon takes Jeffrey in a walk with me.
Yeah. It's a shame. I hate to see this matchup, Rick. I really do. I think under other circumstances, Alshon Jeffrey would be set up for a Cinderella run through this tournament.
Kind of like Keenan Allen against Alshon Jeffrey in the first round.
Wide receiver heavy bracket here in the Midwest. Alshon Jeffrey, I love everything he's doing. He's coming into the number one wide receiver category. But Josh Gordon, for my money, Rick, is the number one wide receiver, Megatron aside. I think they're even. They're that close. And Josh Gordon, I like even a little bit better right there. So, yeah, it ends up not being as close as I thought it would. And a shame for Alshon Jeffrey, just like it was a shame for Allen last week.
Yeah, exactly. And Jeffrey came through with a split win last week and just couldn't pull it off against the heavily favored Josh Gordon. So I guess we'll be moving on to the next one, which is a 7 seed in Cam Newton, who took out Larry Fitzgerald, and a 2 seed who took out Percy Harvin with Matt Forte.
Yeah, another good matchup here, and I think it comes down for me. I'm going to send Matt Forte on to the next round. Love Cam Newton. I'm worried about these injury reports. He's been carrying around these injuries since college. That's a little striking. While it hasn't been an issue, you hear about that stuff, you wonder, why are we finding out now, unless there's something afoot. The other thing, Cam Newton is on a lower end of the first tier, the upper end of the second tier at his position. Matt Forte is solidly in the first tier of his position. I love the way he's being used in that new offense. What they're getting done through the air, opening things up to Forte. I think he's setting up for another big year. I love that Bears offense. It sounds weird to be talking about the Bears offense as opposed to their defense, sort of a 180-degree switch last year. And I think Matt Forte set up for a bit of a run here in this tournament.
Yeah, I agree. I love the Bears offense. Trestman's got everything going the right way. And, you know, everybody seems to have a good attitude in Chicago on top of that after a year. So I just think more good things in store. And we talked about this 2 or 3 weeks ago. The AFC North is no longer that black and blue division. It is a high-octane offensive division. And you really have to score points to stay there. And I think Chicago is going to be one of the leaders. So Matt Forte is going to be a huge part of it.
See, what I'd like to do is I'd like to bump both Cam and Forte off and put Jeffries on so he can get beat by Gordon the next time through. I actually like Jeffrey better than I like Newton and better than I like Forte. But Forte would also be my winner here. And it more has to do with, you know, Cam's health and Cam's weapons. I mean, he has Greg Olsen and he has the running backs.
Right.
I can't get excited about any of his wide receivers. Hopefully they're going to get some help in the draft. But then again, he's not even going to be able to get to be spending any time with whatever new receivers that they get. So he's going to be hurting.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, no matter who they have, it's still going to be rookie season together with the quarterback. And a lot of times that just doesn't work out all that well when you're trying to amass an offense, and when nobody's a veteran, that makes it extremely difficult. Olsen, like you say, is the only other guy, and he's, in my mind, bolting up his tight end value.
Yes, definitely.
All right, so in the Midwest, we come out in the Sweet 16. Adrian Peterson, Brandon Marshall, Josh Gordon, Matt Forte. Some interesting matchups going into the Sweet 16 there. Let's jump over to the West. The 1 seed, Rick Shady McCoy, against upstart and, I believe, underseeded Andrew Luck, the 9 seed.
He may be underseeded, but I'm going Shady McCoy. And, I mean, basically for the same reason we're talking Adrian Peterson, you know, it's Shady McCoy.
Yeah, I don't think a ton of debate there. I don't worry that Darren Sproles hurts his production, maybe cuts into his receptions a little bit, but I think they work in tandem well together in that offense, and I think Shady McCoy comfortably passed an upstart Andrew Luck, though. I got Andrew Luck in the top tier of fantasy quarterbacks going into this season.
I'm going to make it 3 for 3. I'm Shady McCoy. I mean, it doesn't matter even if Sproles takes, you know, 100 touches away from him. he's still going to be productive enough. He's good at the goal line. He's still going to catch some passes. And Chip Kelly is going to put his best offensive players out there for, as you know, up to 50, 60 plays a game. So it doesn't matter. He is the top choice there.
Yeah, no doubt about that, and that's a unanimous choice. Now, Andy, you and I have been taking a lot of these first, so we're going to give Rick the Zach Stacy-Le'Veon Bell matchup, which I think is very intriguing. Zach Stacy pulled off a split win over Rick's love child last week, Ryan Matthews.
I love me some Ryan Matthews. I can't.
I think this is going to be a pretty interesting matchup. Rick,
yeah.
Why don't you take it?
All right, Zach Stacy, that's a 4-5 matchup. I wonder what the LeGarrette Blount signing means for Le'Veon Bell. I wonder if it's not a benefit to him, although I worry about his goal line touches. Look, we talked about last week on one of the shows what bringing Blount, that Le'Veon Bell was never going to be that 20 to 25 carry a game guy. They were going to have to bring somebody else in. He was getting the goal line touches last year. I think that's what you worry about going to LeGarrette Blount. You look at Zach Stacy, he was an every down guy. And in Fisher's offense, if you have an every down guy and you're staying healthy, that guy is going to be productive. I love everything Le'Veon Bell brings, especially in a PPR format. But I think just knowing Zach Stacy got those goal line carries too, this is so close for me. I'm going to take Zach Stacy. I'm a little nervous about him yet. I have concerns about both these guys. I'm going to go with Zach Stacy as the safer pick here.
Andy.
Boy, put me on the spot. You know, and here's Zach Stacy. I was actually at the East-West Shrine Game last year and got to meet Zach Stacy, and he's a very, very good young man and definitely physically imposing, and he might take a swing at me, but I'm going to go with Le'Veon Bell. And the reason why I'm going to do that is just because I think one of the reasons why the Steelers got LeGarrette Blount was to make sure that Bell was going to get, you know, the receptions and what was going to kind of free him up to make sure that he wasn't going to get banged up. And I think Le'Veon Bell is probably going to be basically the first quarter through the third quarter kind of guy, and then they're going to try to salt away leads with having LeGarrette Blount. So in a PPR league, I just see Bell as being the more dynamic back and also being in the better offense, because I'm not exactly set on how Kenny Britt is going to make the wonderful Rams this awesome offensive juggernaut. Obviously, Jeff Fisher loves his running backs, and I like Zach Stacy. This is a lot closer than I would like it to be, but I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to go with Le'Veon.
Boy, now I'm on the spot because
that's
we got
right,
a vote for Zach Stacy, one for Le'Veon Bell.
Try to put everybody else on the spot, and it's you who ended up on it. So enjoy that. Don't.
Yeah, you know, but both guys made pretty good points. You know, Zach, of course, Jeff Fisher loves, once he loves a running back, he can run him into the ground. There's no question about that. Le'Veon Bell, I think, like Andy said, he's a more dynamic player. I'll agree there. I'm not sure if Blount's going to hurt or help. One of the key things to me is quarterback. And I like Ben Roethlisberger better than Sam Bradford. And I like Ben Roethlisberger now that they're in, what, I think the third or fourth year with Todd Haley now. I think they're a lot more comfortable with each other. They started moving the ball. I'm in an article I wrote 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think Pittsburgh is right on the cusp of scoring a lot of points this year. And I think Le'Veon Bell is one of those guys, and in a squeaker, I'm going to take him in OT.
All right, a close game. Le'Veon Bell moves on. It's very chalky here for us today thus far, Rick. Let's jump down. 6-seed Julio Jones taking on 3-seed Demaryius Thomas. And I think the first important thing to point out, Rick, with this matchup is apparently this was the point of the show last week. We were getting in a hurry. So I think this says Demaryius Thomas, because what I have written down is D-O-M-L-S. That's what I wrote down. I assume that meant Demaryius Thomas. I'm not sure how I got there. So, Rick, started off Julio Jones, Demaryius Thomas.
Look, Demaryius Thomas is coming away from a Peyton Manning, the first year with Peyton Manning, second year, he had 92 catches, 1,430 yards, 14 touchdowns, you know, 0.4 of a point behind Josh Gordon for fantasy lead in scoring. He's big, he's strong, he's got superb hands, and he's on a fantastic offense. Julio Jones, I tell you what, he worries me. And he's been hurt in his short career more than I like. And for that reason, I'm going to Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, I'm trying for all the life of me to give you a reason to pick Julio Jones here. I like Julio Jones. I'm excited about him coming back. I think it makes a difference for Matt Ryan, gets him going in the right direction. I just can't make that argument. I'm trying to get away from chalk. I really like Julio Jones as a player. But Demaryius Thomas with that quarterback in that offense, with that size, you know, the loss of Decker, I think, hurts them as a group. Sanders, not the same replacement as we talked about earlier. I just can't do it. Demaryius Thomas is an upper echelon guy at his position and in this game. So, yeah, for me, I'm going to stick chalk and I'm going to go Demaryius Thomas. I don't know why it pains me so much, but it does.
And I'm going to make it 3-for-3. I think, the discussion before about Julio's foot, it's a scary proposition. I mean, we don't know when that screw's going to fall out or whatever else is going to happen. Obviously, you know, with the loss of Tony Gonzalez, you know, how is their offense going to roll? I mean, obviously they're not going to put a lot of emphasis on Steven Jackson. But that's a scary situation. And, you know, Demaryius Thomas, obviously, he's probably going to be the number one focus of Peyton Manning, and he should be – have the chance to be a top three receiver fantasy-wise this year. So Julio, he depends on the week. Is it going to be him? Is it going to be Roddy White? And then if his health is going to hold up.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So we will go ahead and move Demaryius Thomas and Rick. Let's go ahead and finish out the West before we take a break. Oh, we'll see if the music works this time. Giovanni Bernard, a guy I know you really like, draws a tough round of 32 matchup against Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I love Gio Bernard going into this year. You know, his role is going to expand. They've already said that. And, you know, the guy's a dynamic player. He catches a lot of passes. And I think the law firm's role is diminishing and will continue to do so. That being said, he's playing Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning kills him.
Right. Yeah. Same for me. Peyton Manning next. That's what I have to say about that.
Wow. You know, I was actually – I kind of have a feeling that Peyton's going to get broke again this year. I don't think it's going to be within the first month or two, but I think there's a good chance that Peyton by Thanksgiving is going to be on the sidelines. And I really like what Gio does. But – you guys are going with chalk, so Peyton Manning moves on.
Oh, feel free to disagree. Yeah. I mean, we want more red letters.
Oh no, no, I'm just saying, I he's a brittle guy. He's been a brittle guy. You know, I have to expect it for him not to get medically cleared. I mean, obviously, you know, he was a step slow in the Super Bowl. How much mentally can he take it anymore? I mean, Gio is such a young, explosive player that is protected by A.J. Green, and I just have a feeling that Gio is going to explode this year in Peyton's. Something's going to happen.
Hey, it's a gutsy call. I like it. And he could definitely go down. You're dealing with a neck issue, Rick. You're one hit away. I can see that. So
yeah, it's certainly not.
We'll keep it as chalky as we can, though, Rick, and move on. Let's try to
that
one more
split
time.
Split decision.
A split decision. So let's try it one more time. We'll be back right after this.
Pedro's high again.
All right, and we are back on the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show, heard worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Had some music on that break, Rick, so that is great. Let's move on before we run out of time to the South Region. 1 seed Calvin Johnson takes on 9 seed Andre Johnson, a battle of the Johnsons and a battle of the wide receivers.
Yes, and Andy, I believe you're up for this classic matchup here.
Well, I have to go with the more dominant receiver. Obviously, Andre Johnson has had his better days. He is getting up there, and he certainly bonded with the second-year quarterback, but now he's going to have to be dealing with a brand-new quarterback, whether it be rookie or whoever else they decide to bring in. Calvin Johnson's the best receiver in the league, bar none. I got to go Calvin.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at this, it's past versus present. Andre Johnson for a time. Look, Andre Johnson in a PPR format, if they get that quarterback situation right down there, this is still, Rick, an 8 to 10 catch a game guy, and you love that. But he's going up against Calvin Johnson, and nobody save for Jerry Rice in my lifetime has done it any better. This is what Calvin Johnson. I worry about his health a little bit. He seems like he's been nicked up here and there. Nothing serious, but always nicked up. You worry about that. I'm not going to predict an injury when it comes to a guy like this. It's close. You're happy to have either one of these guys in your fantasy squad. Also, you know, you look at a Calvin Johnson, where you're going to have to draft him versus where Andre Johnson's falling to this year becomes a factor for me, maybe later on, but not now. It's Calvin Johnson.
You know, it's funny talking about Andre Johnson almost like he's one step away from retirement or the grave. The guy had 109 catches last year, 1,407 yards. Calvin only had 84 catches last year, albeit he had more yards at 1,492. Right. One of the key things is 12 touchdowns for Calvin and 5 for Andre. And I believe Andre had 2 or 3 in the one game alone last year, and he still only had the 5. I don't
Which
like.
He's always been the knock on Andre.
Exactly.
He has a hard time finding the end zone.
Look, they got Golden Tate up there now in Detroit. You have Matt Stafford. Him and Calvin are together. I don't think this one's close. However, I still think Andre Johnson is going to be a great value in fantasy drafts because every year, the last couple of years, he keeps falling.
Yeah, he keeps
And he keeps putting up numbers.
This guy was a second-round pick annually for a few years and keeps ticking down a round or two every single year. You're definitely going to get good value on Andre Johnson this year. Let's move down to a strange matchup, Rick. Opposite sort of skill sets, one more exciting than the other. The 5 seed Alfred Morris taking on the 4 seed Drew Brees.
You know, Drew Brees, I mean, New Orleans was almost, to me, like schizophrenic last year. I mean, you know, Colston used to be a good, solid fantasy player, just a hideous year last year. Lance Moore disappeared. Yet Drew Brees was second-highest fantasy scoring quarterback. It just goes to show you what he does. He's still got Jimmy Graham. Colston will be back. They got, you know, they've solidified a running game, pretty much steady. It used to be crowded. They've gotten rid of Sproles. They've gotten rid of Ivory. They're concentrating on Thomas and Ingram. Alfred Morris just keeps – last couple of years been dominating in the Washington backfield. The thing I don't like about Morris is, in PPR format, he doesn't catch any passes. And Brees is going to be 1, 2, or 3, I think, in quarterback scoring yet again this year. And I'm going to go Drew Brees.
Go ahead, Andy.
Well, and to go along with Alfred Morris not catching passes – you also have to look at how Jay Gruden's going to use him in his offense. He's probably going to be more in the Ben Jarvis Green Ellis role than he would be in the Gio Bernard role. You got to think that he's going to be the guy that gets the carries at the goal line. He's going to get the tough yardage, but he's just not going to be used all that often. And you know, in New Orleans, that everything is going to go through Drew Brees. I mean, they still have Jimmy Graham. They still have Colston. Yeah, it looks like they're going to try to run the ball a little bit more. But everything goes through Drew Brees. He's still going to throw for almost 5,000 yards. He's still going to get, you know, into the high 30s in passing touchdowns, which is going to be a lot more beneficial than 1,100 yards and seven touchdowns that Morris is going to bring in.
Not a real dynamic player, certainly a steady player. For me, it's also Drew Brees. He's Drew Brees. You know he's going to get the 4,000-yard mark. You know they're still good. As much as they try to run the ball, New Orleans is going to throw the ball first, and Drew Brees' statistics will bear that out. So, Rick, we got about 5 minutes left in the show. Let's keep moving. Arian Foster, the sixth seed, the forgotten man this year until Ben Tate finally left town. I feel like people are forgetting about Arian Foster taking on the aforementioned Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people have forgotten about Arian Foster right this minute, but I think they'll start realizing that he's the guy in Houston again. I have a concern with him, of course. I mean, he had a heart ailment last year. Obviously, in my mind, Houston must know something that we don't to let Ben Tate go and to be relying on Arian Foster. On the other side of the coin, it's Jimmy Graham. He's looking for a contract. And New Orleans seems to drag their feet when they are doing this. They put out the franchise tag on Jimmy Graham. He doesn't like that, being franchised as a tight end. I don't know if this is going to breed animosity unless or they do get the deal done. I don't know. So there's a lot of questions in this matchup. And, you know, my heart says I want to go with Arian Foster, but I got to go Jimmy Graham. He is just uncoverable and the most dominant tight end there is.
All right, Andy, to you.
I'm going to agree. I think Jimmy Graham is Drew Brees' number one option. He is clearly the top two in his position. Arian Foster coming off the injury. You know, who knows the kind of quarterback he's going to have? Who knows, you know, how much more mileage he's had? He's had a boatload of carries the last few years, and he's getting slowed down by injury. I mean, he was slowed down by injury in college, which one of the reasons that he went undrafted. And, you know, Andre Johnson's getting older. You know, we don't know if Owen Daniels is going to be back. He's going to be who defenses concentrate on, and I'm not sure if he can be successful in those situations.
All right, so we'll move Jimmy Graham on. Go ahead and put Arian Foster in red, though, Rick. I'm going to take Arian Foster in this matchup based on value alone. If he does what Arian Foster can do amid all those questions, somebody's going to get a steal on him because he is just tumbling down draft boards, and I still have a lot of faith in Arian Foster. So we've got about 3 minutes left, Rick. The last matchup in this round is one I find interesting with this suddenly high-powered offense in Detroit. Reggie Bush taking on Marshawn Lynch. Steady as they come, Marshawn Lynch.
Talking about the AFC North there a little while ago with Chicago, this is going to be another high-octane offense, and I love Reggie Bush. Going into this year, I love with the addition of Golden Tate, what they have. Marshawn Lynch, I can see starting to regress a little bit. I think this physicality is going to catch up to him a little bit. He doesn't catch passes. Reggie Bush does. Reggie Bush in an upset.
Wow, gutsy move. Andy, to you.
I am going to agree. I also think Reggie Bush is a much better option than PPR. Seemed like Marshawn Lynch was fading a little bit. Plus, he has Christian Michael, who is nipping at his heels, who didn't get a chance much to play this past year, and the coaching staff has already come out and said, we are going to use him more. I mean, he was only used a little bit in the regular season and looked pretty good in the preseason. And another guy that I saw at the Shrine game that I was very impressed with.
Wow, so Reggie Bush taking it. Rick, go ahead and put Reggie Bush in, but put him in red. Marshawn Lynch, the beast mode, steady as they come. I worry about those back issues. I worry about how Seattle's been decimated, but this guy just gets it done week after week. You can almost write down that touchdown. Marshawn Lynch is not a guy I'm going to shy away from there in the middle to late part of the first round. So we have completed that, Rick. So much for getting through the Elite Eight today.
Yeah, no kidding.
We used it all up getting through some of these tough matchups here. So, Andy, thanks a lot for coming on. Why don't you take a minute and tell everybody where they can find you?
Well, you can find me on – well, thank you first. Thank you guys for having me on. You can find me on Twitter at Andrew Miley. You can also find me on Twitter at Dynasty_Blitz. I am going to be restarting that website. Been writing other places, but I like myself as a boss much more. So we're going to relaunch the whole darn thing, and I've already written like 10 rookie scouting reports and hopefully get everything started by the end of April and have it up and running. And I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your time. Let's do it again real soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks Andy.
You. All right, Rick. Well, we are slap out of time. We will get ready for the Elite Eight and hopefully maybe even the Final Four going into next week. And
I got a feeling there will be some heated debates going to the Elite Eight.
We're getting to the point. Let's look at it. We got about 30 seconds here. Charles versus Rogers. Dez Bryant versus Eddie Lacy. Peterson versus Brandon Marshall. Gordon versus Forte, McCoy versus Bell, Demaryius Thomas, Peyton Manning. There's an interesting matchup right there amongst teammates. Calvin Johnson, Drew Brees, Jimmy Graham, Reggie Bush. There is only one slam dunk I see in that list at all to this point. So went sort of chalky, but building up to some great matchups here later on.
Yeah, it ought to be fun. And see if we can nail the champion this year like we did last year.
Yeah, the tournament doesn't lie. We work it out. We play it out right here. Well, we are out of time. Thank you to the Armed Forces Radio Network. Check them out at the AFRN on Twitter, armedforcesradionetwork.co. Check us out at Asylum Football. For God's sake, please follow us on Twitter. Get us to 2,000. AsylumFantasySports.com. Thursday, 8 Eastern, you will hear the bonus hour on Blog Talk Radio and at our website. So until then, we'll see you.
Take care.